It's a blessing to be with you this hour as we talk about counseling and homosexuality. Well, this is a big issue, certainly among all biblical counselors, as you see various lifestyles being promoted more and more. And those lifestyles, and by various, I'm talking about alternative lifestyles. And as those alternative lifestyles are supported, you certainly can see it with what we would call homosexuality and other terms for it as well, especially when you think about gender issues as it relates to that and homosexuality marriage. So there's any number of things that we want to talk about as it relates to counseling homosexuality. One of the questions that you can ask is, his homosexuality a sin or is it generic? Right? I think the answer to that from the Bible is that it's a sin. In today's culture, it's sometimes hard to say it's a sin, and we have to be courageous when we explain it as a sin. And the reason we do is just simply because the culture for sure rejects that particular answer, right? The culture is not for what the Bible has to say about homosexuality. And so when you have people who want to live by whatever feels good and people who want to live by whatever they choose versus whatever the Bible says, when that's the case, then you get into this particular situation related to specifically homosexuality and the authority of the scriptures. Now, we ask ourselves, what are some key biblical texts regarding homosexuality? I have those listed for you in your notes, and so I would encourage you to just look at that list as we talk about it. Right in Genesis 1 and 2, of course, the key component there is that man is made in the image of God, and as someone who's in the image of God, man was made with female, both biologically male and female, such that they are comparable. It's the opposite of each other, and that allows them, Adam and Eve, and all of us who follow Adam and Eve, it allows us to fulfill the creation mandate, which the creation mandate then is to be fruitful and multiply and also have a dominion over the earth. So all of that's related to Genesis 1 and 2. And of course, in Genesis 19, when we get there, Lot, and there's a lengthy story about Lot and the people who were sinning in Sodom and Gomorrah. And the goal is that they wanted to sin as it relates to what the text says is strange flesh. Right? So Genesis sets the foundation. The foundation is man and woman and the sense of biology. As well as we think about Leviticus 18, right? In Leviticus 18, it's the law, and it's clear that homosexuality is an abomination. So as such, it is inappropriate for God's people. Now you might say, well, people will tell you that that's the law and it's not the New Testament. We do have some New Testament passages. I would just suggest at this point, it points to the character of God, therefore would be appropriate to understand. In Judges 19, verses 22 and 23, in Gibeah, they were, some translations called son of Belial. These particular sins of homosexuality, they were seeking to sleep men with a particular man in that story. And it says that's an abomination. In Romans chapter 1, verses 26 and 27 are in your notes, but really all the way through verse 32, it says you have women with women, you have men with men, and it makes it clear that's part of the sin process. It's part of the degradation of sin. 1 Corinthians 6, in verses 9 and 10, it speaks to both the passive homosexual, right? There's two terms here, and the active partner. So it would speak to, primarily it's relating to men in the way that it's written here and often referred to, but it would apply to all sense of homosexuality. And it relates to both kinds in terms of if in a homosexual relationship you are playing the role or the active role or the recipient, the passive role, either way, both of those terms are there. 1 Timothy 1, of course, it says that the law is made for the ungodly, and then it lists specific sexual sins. such as fornicators and sodomites. Then the final thing, of course, is Jude 7 as it relates to Sodom and Gomorrah. So if you take any of those texts, any one of them or the complement of all of them together, and you look at them with just normal hermeneutics, you're trying to just say, what does the text say? What does the Bible mean? How do I apply it? A normal rendering of the Bible would say that homosexuality, without any question, is sinful. And I know we're not spending a long time there. There's things you can read. There's books listed in the back of your notes where you can go and do more research. I just want to at least give you a sense of these are the key passages. In relationship to how do we counsel someone who's struggling with same-sex attraction or homosexuality, there's a number of things that we want to talk about and a number of issues that we need to consider. Let's begin working through those. The first thing we want to talk about, it's crucial for the counselor to think correctly first. We as biblical counselors need to think biblical, we need to think godly, we need to be clear-headed as it relates to homosexuality. Sometimes my perception is that we hate a lifestyle or we are against a sense of an agenda when it becomes a political agenda, and all of those things in the Christian's mind begin to mix together. And as they mix together, what you see is that Christians come across with a poor spirit because they reject the sin, but often that gets carried over and it's communicated as rejecting sinners. And so as biblical counselors, we can't afford to misrepresent the gospel. We can't afford to misrepresent God or his position. So it's crucial for the counselor to think correctly, right? That's the very first thing. I think Matthew 7 and Galatians 6 are both helpful. In Matthew 7, of course, it's talking about judging. And as it talks about judging, it simply says that we are supposed to deal with our own log before we deal with the splinters of other people. How does that apply here? If there's anything in our heart, if there's anything that is in our own life, as we think about and plan to serve those that are sinning in this way, then we have to deal with our own hearts first. That's going to include any number of topics, which we're going to talk about in just a moment, some of those key things to consider. But just for now, say that it's important to deal with your own heart first before you start to talk about and think through somebody else's sin. Here's the second thing. Galatians 6. It says our goal is to restore, to bring back to a place of usefulness. We do that with a spirit of humility, considering ourselves, lest we're also tempted. We do that with gentleness, it says, with self-control. And we do that as we seek to help bear their burden, as we see in verse 2. And so the first foundation principle, in my mind, is that we have to think biblically, we have to think correctly, we want to lead in this particular area. Usually the counselee comes because there is some kind of perceived need, right? So with that sense, they are coming to us, there is a perceived need, we need to be prepared to minister with humility, minister with compassion and grace. The offer of forgiveness, of course, and hope, no compromise, right? All of these things together. 2 Corinthians, of course, in chapter 5, verses 17 through 21, provides us, our marching order, or provides us the biblical model, the way that we're supposed to think if we're going to come with that particular spirit. What does that look like? Well, he says, we are ambassadors for Christ. And as an ambassador, verse 20, of course, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. So we would start there. But if we look at the broader sense, our responsibility, our voice, our goal is to introduce them to repentance and introduce them to reconciliation. We want them to be reconciled to God. And so, as such, it's our pleasure to try to introduce them to this broad sense of life in Christ. And as an ambassador, I want to bring you along so that you know and understand the same things I know and understand about the heart, about life, about